One unmistakable fact is that time moves along fast. I don't know about you, but I'm constantly amazed at how quickly time flies by. Remember when I was younger, I would hear, you know, old people like 40 or 50 or even older than that would say, the older you get, the quicker time goes. And I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm saying it now, it's true. And yeah, I'm there. There is one unavoidable truth, and that is we're getting older. You just can't escape it. Now, former President Dwight Eisenhower was once asked, how do you like growing old? And his reply was, I prefer it to the alternative. And I think most of us would probably agree with that. Even with the aches and pains of age, you know, we want to stick around a while longer. But aging presents some definite challenges to us. I was reminded of this when I came across this list. You know you're getting older when your dreams are reruns. The stewardess offers you coffee, tea, or milk of magnesia. You sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it started. Everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You sink your teeth into a nice juicy steak and they stay there. And my favorite one of all, you see a pretty girl walk down the street and your pacemaker opens the garage door across the street. I also found a list of hymns that were rewritten for those who are getting older. Precious Lord, take my hand and help me get up. It is well with my soul, but my back hurts. Nobody knows the trouble I have seeing. Just a slower walk with thee. Go tell it on the mountain and speak up. Give me that old-timer's religion. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I've forgotten where I parked. We can relate to that, can't we? Songwriter Woody Guthrie described it this way. Since I've retired from life's competition, each day is filled with complete repetition. I get up each morning and dust off my wits, grab the newspaper and read the obits. If my name is not there, I know I'm not dead, so I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed. How do I know that my youth is all spent? My get up and go has got up and went. Now, we can chuckle at these things, but the effects of aging can be serious and not without pain. Physically, our aging body puts on the brakes. You begin to huff and puff when you used to rip and zip. You prefer to sit more than stand, to watch more than to do, and you'd rather forget your birthday rather than remember it. Unfortunately, that's one of the things we tend to remember, and we forget everything we want to remember. Mentally, the aging brain longs for relief. We don't recall the way we used to. We don't respond the way we ought to. We think more about yesterday than we do about today. Emotionally, we undergo strange fears and feelings that we once swore we would never feel that way. Things like being negative and critical, downright ornery at times. Being reluctant to let those who are younger carry more responsibility. Feeling unwanted and in the way. Feeling guilty over past mistakes and wrong decisions. Feeling forgotten, lonely, unloved, passed by. Feeling threatened by sounds, speed, financial uncertainty and disease, and resisting the need to change and adapt. A lot of these things happen as we grow older, and they're worsened by the memories we have when we were once more efficient, more capable. We felt more needed and fulfilled. We look into the mirror and we have to admit that the fingers of age are beginning to scratch their marks on this house of clay. It's hard to believe that our twilight years can be of any worth. As Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12:1 about the days of trouble that come and the years approach when you say, I have no delight in them. For many people, that's what aging is all about. But it doesn't have to be. We don't have to wallow in self-pity, surrounded by doubt, depression, uselessness, or grief. You go back into the time of the Bible and you see that God used people into their advanced years. And I realize lifespans were different back in the book of Genesis. But even the people of their time thought Abraham and Sarah could never have a child, even at that age. Moses wasn't really used by God significantly till he was 80. Samuel was very old when he established a school of prophets to carry on God's work after he would be gone. And then there's Caleb, my favorite one of them all. 85 years young and still raring to go. He hadn't aged much at all. But you know, we live in a society that worships youth and tends to push the aged to the curb. One of the most pervasive and cynical lies of our time that all the good stuff happens in the first half of life. After you've reached whatever age you want to put in, it's all downhill. For some it's 40, some it's 50, some it's 60. We just feel like it's over. Time for the younger people to come in. My usefulness of God must be ending. And I would challenge that. I don't believe that's true at all. In fact, I am convinced that God has something for you to do in His kingdom, whatever age, whatever health you find yourself in. In fact, there is a foolproof, 100% accurate test to know if God still can use you, and you can do it right now. Breathe in, breathe out. If you pass that test, God can use you, and I would say He wants to use you. Don't let age get in the way of God using you. I like the question once asked by Satchel Paige. You remember he was that philosopher that occasionally threw a baseball? He asked this, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? Think about that. If you didn't have an age in your mind, how old would you be? He had another famous quote, age is a case of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. And it's true. And he himself was one who was able to perform at a very high level in professional baseball, way past the time most people would consider to retire. This all brings us to the man we've been studying the last 4 weeks, Caleb, a profile in courage. And this morning we're going to wrap up that series by seeing Caleb, his courage in spite of aging. He didn't let that get in the way. The last time that we saw Caleb, he's 40 years old. He had just completed an assignment of spying out the land of Canaan. He came back with a favorable report, but the majority won out, and the Israelites were forced to go back into the wilderness until that whole generation died, except for Caleb and Joshua. They were promised, you will see your inheritance. The promises you trusted will be fulfilled. But you're going to have to wait. God sometimes does that. We think He's answering no, but really He's just saying not now. And when He does that, it's always because He has something better for us down the road. That's hard to see when all we're seeing is a closed door in our face. But Caleb knew that in time, God would come through on his promises. And that's where we pick things up in Joshua 14, that passage that was read earlier for us. If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 14. We're going to see three ways in which Caleb maintained his courage in spite of his aging body. And I think they're lessons that we can use in our lives today. First, Caleb remained affirmative. He stayed positive. Notice in verse 6, "Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" Picture the scene. Here are the two oldest men alive in the nation of Israel, into their 80s. Caleb says he was 85. Joshua would have been right around that age, maybe a little older. I imagine as they're talking, there's a bit of a twinkle in their eyes as they're recalling the past. "Oh yeah, remember those days? You and I went into Canaan and spied it out. And yeah, it's been a while ago." But Caleb, you don't catch any bit of bitterness or any kind of negativity here at all. He always had trusted in what God could do, and he hadn't lost that. He goes on to say, "Now then, the Lord, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here am I today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm as vigorous to go out to battle as I was then. Let me at him. I'll get him." You know, that's the idea here. He remained positive. And that's really amazing, because he had every reason in the world to give up at 40. "Well, life's over. I got to wander the wilderness for 40 years till all these people die. By the time I get there, I won't be young enough to enjoy it. Who knows, I may not even make it." It'd be easy to fall into that mindset. I want you to notice something else too. And somebody pointed this out to me last Sunday as they were leaving. And it's very clear in this passage. Who were the two spies that came back with a positive report? Joshua and Caleb. Who's the one that ended up being chosen leader of the Israelites? Joshua. Caleb was passed over. And again, Caleb could have allowed that to create bitterness in his soul. He could have resented Joshua. "Why is he in charge? I mean, I brought back a good report. What makes him so high and mighty?" But you don't get that, do you? You don't get that sense at all. I think they were good friends. I think there was a very positive, healthy relationship between these two guys. Caleb didn't allow that perceived slight to make him bitter. So much of it is in our mind. How we respond to life's challenges is going to make a big difference down the road. You remember the Bible's definition of faith? We've looked at it quite a few times in these messages. Hebrews 11:1 in the New Living Translation says, "Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see." Boy, if that's not a definition of Caleb, He had the confidence of things that were promised would actually happen. I know the Lord's going to do this. I have had faith all this time. And now the time of fulfillment has come. He's right on the verge. But he's kept that faith throughout all those years. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ." Every promise God makes, He will fulfill. Say, well, He hasn't fulfilled them yet. That's right. That's what calls for hope. We hope for things we haven't seen yet. So hope is faith in the future. Trust is faith in the past. Trust looks back and says, God has done. Hope looks forward and says, God will do. And Caleb was filled with hope. Now, I know there's a lot made about the power of positive thinking, as though positive thinking itself can make things happen. That's not true. You can climb up on the roof of our building and have all the positive thinking in the world that you can fly, but I guarantee you that if you step off the edge, you will end up on the ground rather quickly. It's not positive thinking in and of itself. Even faith. Faith changes things. Faith can move mountains. Faith this, that, and the other thing. No. It's faith in God. You'll even hear it said sometimes, have faith in your faith. What's that? Try pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. Doesn't work. It's not how great our faith is, it's what we put our faith in. That's why Jesus could say, faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. It's not the faith, it's where the faith is placed. Caleb placed his faith in God that he would keep his promises, and that kept him positive. That kept him in an affirmative mindset. And yet we all know of those who display the opposite. Bob and I had a great Aunt Etta, my dad's side. And I remember from the time I was, as far back as I can remember, we go and visit my dad's family in Pennsylvania, and we'd come in the door, and, "Hi, Aunt Etta, how are you?" And she'd give us an organ recital, you know. "Oh, this hurts and that hurts," and you know. And she always ended with the same words, "I won't be around much longer." I remember about 15 or 16, I said to my mom, "You know, every time that I can remember, she has said, I'm not going to be around much longer." And she said, she'd been saying that as long as I've known her. That went along before me. She lived to be 98, in spite of herself. But that attitude, it can weigh you down. It just brings you down. And Caleb wasn't like that at all. And that has almost become as much a part of aging as wrinkles and gray hair. But it doesn't have to be. On his 75th birthday, General Douglas MacArthur wrote, "In the heart is a recording chamber, receiving messages of hope that keep you young. Get pessimistic and you grow old." I think there's a lot of wisdom there. Age is a lot of mind over matter. Because what's in our mind does matter. And the attitudes we take is going to play a big part into how we age. Secondly, Caleb remained active. I love verses 10 and 11. "Here I am, 85 years old. I don't think he had a cane, a walker. I mean, he was ready to go. And I think it's because he remained active. He didn't just sit in his tent for 40 years as they were going around the wilderness. He remained active. He remained strong. He wanted to be ready for when God fulfilled those promises. I remember when I lived in the state of Virginia, there was a billboard that said, "You don't stop playing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop playing. Now, if I remember right, that was attributed to Thomas Jefferson, who was kind of the patron saint of the state of Virginia. But I later found out that's actually a quote from George Bernard Shaw. But again, there's some real wisdom in that. When you stop being active, your body breaks down. And remaining active is a key to staying young. I mean, how many people have you heard about that worked 30, 40, 50 years? They may have worked in a factory, or they may have had a very rigorous job where they were very physically active in their job. They retire, and 3 months later, they're dead. And you find out that after they retired, they sat in their lazy boy and didn't get up. I don't have any medical facts, but to me, there's a correlation there. We've got to stay active. And I think we need to stay active in our service for the Lord as well. You may not be able to serve the same way. You know, you may not be able to say like Caleb, I'm 85 years old and I'm just as strong as I was at 40. I can't say that now, and I'm not even close to 85. But we can still do something, and we need to remain active in our faith. I believe we can have our greatest moments of life at an age most people would consider over the hill. We can still accomplish a lot in what most people consider old age. Here's just a few examples. Ted Williams, the Hall of Fame baseball player, slammed a home run at his last official at-bat at age 42, long after many baseball players retire. Golda Meir was 71 years old when she became Prime Minister of Israel. Benjamin Franklin was 81 when he helped shape the United States Constitution. And George Bernard Shaw, the guy I quoted a moment ago, was 94 when one of his plays was first produced. They kept going, kept active. And I think that's key. At 85 years old, Caleb was ready for the greatest adventure of his life. Israel was taking the land God had promised, and Caleb wanted to be a part of that. And I think this emphasizes a key truth. We don't retire from serving God. You can retire from a job, but you never retire from the Lord's service. Because as long as He has you here, He has something for you to do. It's up to us to find out what that is. It might take some sanctified creativity, but that's okay. We have something that we can do to serve God, whatever our age. I like how Chuck Swindoll puts it. While his peers were yawning, Caleb was yearning. He was looking forward. He was saying, let me at it. And that leads us to our last truth. Caleb remained ambitious throughout his life. I mean, come on. If most of us had been Caleb, 85 years old, you spent 45 years waiting for our inheritance. Now, most of us probably would have said, you know, give me a nice mountain cabin where I'll have a safe, nice place to rest these tired bones. You know, who would have criticized Caleb for that? But that's not what he said. He said, give me this mountain. There's giants in the land. And there really were. You know, when the guys came back and said, oh, there's giants in the land and we're like grasshoppers. Well, the grasshoppers part, forget. But there really were giants. These were the guys from whom Goliath would descend. The sons of Anak. And Caleb says, let me at them. Come on, give me that mountain. I checked it out them years ago and I still have a claim on it. I don't care if there's giants in the land. I don't care if their cities are fortified. The Lord will give me the victory. And that was the key. He was ambitious in the Lord. He wasn't saying, I can do this, you know, have an S on his chest or whatever. It wasn't about Caleb. It was about Caleb's God. And he remained ambitious. This wasn't some sort of dementia or senility settling in. He was fully and control of his facilities and, you know, his faculties, not facilities. Yeah. Probably in control of those too. Speaking of senility, I ran across something this last week that may set some of you back a moment. So hear me out. But I think there's a lot of truth to it. Bruce Larson wrote a book, There's a Lot More to Health Than Not Being Sick. And in it he writes, a life of safety is no life at all, whatever your vocation. Still, we're programmed from an early age to start providing for a safe and secure future. Through pension funds and retirement benefits, we work toward removing all risk until time we're 65. And yet sociologists have discovered in these societies where people live to 100 plus years old, there's no special treatment for the aged. They found that these societies have nothing in common in terms of climate or diet or geography or lifestyle. But in all the places, the inhabitants lived normal lives with no cushion for safety. They continued to work, tend fields, keep shops until they died at 100 plus years old. Then he makes this conclusion. I'm convinced that God never invented old age. Death is from God, but old age is man's invention, and it's a cultural blight in our lifetime. We've heard a lot about being safe over the last few years. Play it safe. Play it safe. You got to be safe. Everybody be safe. Show me one place in the scripture it says play it safe. Oh, now, there are a lot of promises that God is our safety and security. God will protect his people. Yes, 100% believe in that. And I'm not suggesting that we be foolish, foolhardy. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying, though, is that our culture has tried to sell us a bill of goods that you can keep yourself safe, that you can control what happens to you. And what we have found in the last 2 years is that is an absolute lie. You cannot control what happens to you or those around you. We trust that to the Lord. And we understand that in a world that has been contaminated by sin and by death, that there are times when people will get sick and die, people will have accidents and die. It's going to happen regardless of the safety precautions we take. Now again, I'm not saying we should not be intelligent. But what I'm saying is if you think you can control your destiny or the destiny of those around you by the things you're doing, think again. You put your safety in the hands of God and you go for it. You trust in God and follow God's lead, even when that might entail taking a risk. There are plenty of risk takers in the scriptures. Caleb's at the head of the list. He was not one to play it safe. And yet, God preserved him all those years. And we find out later that at 85 years old, he took on the giants on that mountain and he won. He remained ambitious. He had his faith in God. And I'll be honest with you, I have known Christians who paralyze themselves in fear. They paralyze themselves with this thought that, oh, I can't that because of what might happen. We need more people like Caleb that says, give me this mountain. God has made his promises. I am going to act in faith. And God did. God came through on the promises. Now, does that mean that everyone who follows God's will is going to enjoy a long life, never have an illness, never die at an early age? No. Look at the missionaries in Ecuador who were very young and served God to the point of sacrificing their lives. The world said it was a waste. God said, oh no. This is watering the seeds they planted, and in time that whole tribe came to Christ. So I'm not guaranteeing you that, you know, you jump off the pinnacle of the temple and God will send his angels to catch you. Somebody else said that, not me. So I'm not saying be foolish. What I am saying is, let's be realistic about what we control and what's out of our hands. And you're going to find that very liberating. When you allow God to be God and you to work within those parameters, it's freeing. And that's exactly how Caleb lived. Vance Havner was an old-time Southern preacher. And he said this, retirement age is supposed to mean I should sit in a rocking chair, wait for my Social Security check, and reminisce about the good old days. I have no thought of retiring. I would say with Caleb, give me this mountain. I'm not asking for molehills. Old soldiers need not fade away. I've asked like Hezekiah for an extension of time, like Jabez for an enlargement of territory, like Elisha for an endowment of power. Caleb did not suffer like the 10 frightened spies from a grasshopper complex. Too many cowards are cringing before the giants of Anak. God, give us Calebs looking for mountains to conquer. Amen. That's what we need to be. And it doesn't matter what your age is. God can still use you. One last point about Caleb. If you get into the next chapter in Joshua, Joshua 15, you see Caleb providing for the next generation. Some of Caleb's daring faith rubbed off on his son-in-law, Othniel, who would later become one of the judges of Israel. Caleb's faith also touched his daughter. She had the faith to ask her father for a field and then springs of water to irrigate the land at a time when women didn't do that. You see Caleb rubbing off on the next generation. And that's a challenge for us. We need to be setting an example for those who are following us. I'm convinced in that New Testament model for the church where the older men teach the younger men and the older women teach the younger women, we set an example. We don't get set on the shelf. God has something for each and every one of us to do. So we come to a close on the life of Caleb. Certainly he stands as a profile of courage for all of us to emulate. He had courage in spite of his ancestry, even though he was born on the wrong side of the tracks in the eyes of his peers. He had courage in spite of antagonism, even though overwhelmingly the odds were against him. He maintained his faith in the Lord. He had courage in spite of affliction, maintaining his faithfulness through those 40 years in the wilderness. And then he had courage in spite of aging, as he was pushing on for God, ready to tackle the next challenge that came to him. Say, wow, that's nice. That happened a long time ago. That kind of thing doesn't happen anymore. Well, maybe it doesn't, but that doesn't mean it can't. Maybe we've resigned ourselves into thinking, I'm too old. Remember what happened to the 10 spies in the nation of Israel when they said, we can't? God said, you won't. But to Joshua and Caleb, who said, through God we can, God said, you will. So I challenge all of us, regardless of your age, your health, God has something for you to do. Are you willing to take on that mountain, whatever it might be? You willing to be used by God? The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God of Caleb is the God today. He's still on the throne, and He still wants to use you. What will be your answer to His call?